Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to the School of Ministry podcast. Paul is your Bible teacher today. If you have questions you would like addressed, let us know. Maybe you have a need in your life and want to know how the Bible gives answers that apply to us today. Feel free to contact us. Now enjoy the lesson.
I want to talk about walking by faith and not walking by sight. And so that's found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 in particular. But let's read in 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8, because there is a difference of walking by sight or walking by faith. And as the children of God, we need to continue to live and to walk by faith. So let's read in 2 Corinthians 5. I think this is familiar to you, beginning in verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm going to stop right there, though keep your place, because I want to come back and look at the context of this. I want us to think about it and examine it. In our world, our eyesight helps us to negotiate our world, doesn't it? What we see, our eyesight makes it so much easier to walk circumspectly. The Apostle Paul said that we are to walk circumspectly, and that was an idea, that was a term that a Navy man would use. It's a nautical term that you watched where you put your foot on the boat, because a ship that would be reeling and going this way and that way, wet and whatever, that you would walk with very carefully setting your foot. That term is something that we want to use on a regular basis, that we walk carefully, we walk circumspectly, we watch where we put our feet. But I want us to think about this, about the invisible, eternal world, where you cannot walk by sight. And sometimes when we're keeping our trust and our faith in the Lord, we see Him taking care of those every need. See, because when we are walking by sight, we're seeing what this world wants to offer. There are those that are in darkness all around us, all around in this world, and they do not understand what that is. They don't understand that the light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They do not understand what it is that we understand to walk by faith, to trust God, to believe Him. So that's really what my whole message was. What I really wanted to share was, how do we walk by faith? And I'm preaching at me. We don't know exactly what He's doing, where things are leading, but I know He's leading. I know He's doing something. Now, it's interesting because in our day and age, there have been surveys, and most people today believe in life after death, but they don't believe necessarily in Jesus Christ. They're not necessarily accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. They just say, well, we do believe that something happens, that we go on, and there's all kinds of ideas after that. Well, I believe that God has placed within mankind, within our conscience, the knowledge that there is life after death. There's some kind of illumination there. Well, after all, doesn't the scripture say that the heavens declare the glory of God? The heavens show? So they know there's something else out there. But in this day, it's necessary for us that have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that we show what it is to walk by faith. We have to see Him who is invisible. We have to have faith. We have to live by faith. We have to be children of faith. I hope that we can all say that the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what we're wanting to do. So the question is, how do we walk by faith?
That's what the scripture is talking about. That's what the Apostle Paul is sharing with us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's what he's laying out for us. Because I know that a church comes alive when the spiritual attitudes are correct. We bring our attitude in line with God's word. My problem was I had a love problem. I got out of the correct attitude. I got away from seeing things through the spiritual eyes. I started walking by sight and not by faith. What's inside the Lord's people is that we need to be building up an attitude that we can share that's not only singing hymns. I love the singing of hymns. I love to be able to join together to pray, to come to the Lord's house to worship with one another, to sit and learn of God's word. But real life comes from Christ living out his life in us. Real life comes from allowing him to do something in us so that people will see a transformed life. That's what Paul said in Galatians 4, that it was his deep desire, his prayer, his whole work. He was in pain or travail, it says, that Christ would be fully formed within those people of Galatia, that church in Galatia. And that's the same idea that he writes in Colossians, that he wanted the word of Christ to dwell in them richly. And so you see, it's an attitude that we're in our life, we're allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. So it's the goal, I think, of every preacher, hopefully, and teacher, that we will generate the proper spiritual attitude in the hearts of God's people. I think it's a little unfortunate that chapter 4 and chapter 5 have a division there, because if we look back in chapter 4, the thoughts continue on. Let's go back to chapter 4, if you will, in 2 Corinthians, and look at verse 16, 17, and 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do we see this? What he's showing here, he's looking at the eternal perspective, walking by faith, not by sight. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're walking by faith, not by sight. And then he continues, this is why I say it's kind of too bad that there's a chapter break here. Because he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. For if indeed, having been clothed, we shall be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that immortality may be swallowed up by the life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Let's hold off right there. Let's look at this. Let's think about it. Because we have a house that has not been made with hands. We have a body. There is something within us, and I believe that we are threefold. That we have the mental capability, that soulish part of man. That we have this physical part of us, but there's also that spiritual part. And it is that spiritual part that we're looking forward to as a temple not made with hands, that we know, and Paul talked about that earlier in Corinthians here in chapter 5 and verse 1, that we know about a resurrected body. We're going to have a new body. He's going to talk about that a little bit later in chapter 15. He is confident there is an assertion because he says, we know that we have this. You see, when we have God's word and we're trusting in God's word, we can know some things. We can have some assurance. So Paul was writing about fixing our eyes, not on the things that are seen, but on the unseen. That's what he's talking about as we open up here. These verses really kind of express that same sentiment that this world is just wasting away. And as he's facing death, he's using a figure of speech of groaning. That something within, it just wants so much more. But somehow, even our heavenly dwelling, it's groaning. It desires a better place. It desires something more. And even though our groaning and all that which is burdened in this world is going to change to laughter and exultation in the next, it's going to be so much better than we can ask or think. What is mortal is going to be swallowed up in life immortal. This imperishable spiritual bodies that we have that are prepared for heaven, that are prepared for eternity. So for Paul, his present mortal life, he likens it to being naked. He likens it to just being a marked something lacking, something just not there, a humiliation, a privation. It's something that just wasn't there. Who would want to focus on this state of being in the light of eternal glory, in the light of what is ahead? So Paul had only conditions in view here in chapter 4 and 16 that we're talking about the temporal and the eternal. I think that when Paul talks about being unclothed, he's talking about in this world, we're held back. There's something that's just not quite right. And so it seems clear from chapter 5 and verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that immortality may be swallowed up by life. I think the text is clear. I think he lays it out that for us to die, when we close our eyes in death, immediately we are in the very presence of God. There's no other intervening stages. And so this present condition, this fading mortality, even though this life is disquieting, what Paul had written, that only we as mortals, we're like common jars of clay, but God can use us even here as a witness. And it's encouraging that in the life that we're seeing that transforming power, that process of Christ, that one day he's going to bring us to perfect Christ-likeness. That's the gracious gift of salvation. That's that gracious transforming gift that begins. And he's given us the guarantee. He said that in verse 5. He has given us the Spirit as an earnest or as a deposit, as a guarantee, so that we know that what this world has is just nothing we're looking forward to better. We're falling down on this side, in this side of things, but so often that we can recognize, wait a minute, he's given us this Holy Spirit to live in us and work through us and mold us and make us. And that's the deposit, the guarantee, the earnest money. So with this perspective, Paul could be confident and encouraged that even in this time where we're in this mortal body, these verses really come back to what he spoke about in chapter 4, that this is just temporary. We're looking for the eternal, this earthly tent. It's outwardly, it's wasting away, but we're in this state of mortality and away from the presence of the Lord. And so these alone that know Christ, when you know Christ, you can say with the Apostle Paul, we're confident knowing that while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have to continue. We're confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's our goal. That's our hope. How do we walk by faith? It's tough. Walk by faith, not by sight. We have to live by faith, not by sight. As a child of God, we say we know that because our Lord lives, I can live also. Because he has overcome death and the grave and hell, we also will overcome. Because he is alive, we have a life in this world. And whether it's we've learned or we are still unlearned, We don't know, but like the world, they are dead in their trespasses and sin. We have been quickened. We have been made alive. We have the new life. We have our new senses, spiritual senses that are exercised so that we know spiritually good and evil. So in order to understand this really important truth, we have to consider the whole matter. Because it's easy to say, oh yes, I live by faith or I walk by faith. And then when we get in out in the world and the world's closing in on us and all of the instances and things that Satan just wants to throw at us, it's hard to do that. It's hard to recognize it. And so this world, if we recognize that it's inferior, it doesn't have all that it could. It's inferior in all of the areas. And, you know, our senses sometimes are inferior, the sense of smell and a taste and hearing. And we don't recognize exactly everything that God has because there is a whole another realm, a whole another world that sometimes we're just unaware of. That we're unaware that sometimes God sends angels to be in our very presence, to watch over and take care of us. When we're just looking at this world and at things from this world and just from our senses, we miss what it is to trust. There are all kinds of spiritual creatures that walk this earth, and we don't even understand and we don't know, but one day we'll know. But we are sojourners. We're passing through. We're on our way to a better place. We're dwelling in these houses of clay, and this world is not our home. So the Spirit of God wants to produce in us certain inner attitudes, an inner attitude of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are absolutely crucial to the child of God. And we want to conform our outward man to meet the inward man, to meet the spiritual man, to motivate us, to create in us a heart that is devoted to Christ, to the Spirit of God's work. And to some degree, the Holy Spirit is working to produce in every one of us those kind of attitudes so that we'll walk in them. I think it's a sad condition where we find churches today that are looking for a new style, a new format. They want to just reorganize everything, and there is, unfortunately, just not appreciating preaching. And one of the things 1 Thessalonians 5 said, it says, despise not prophesying. And that idea of prophesying, that is a word that means to foretell. And today in the Lord's churches, preaching is that foretelling. We're not telling the future. It's not some idea where we have a prophet who is telling us this is everything that's going to happen. We have the Word of God. We have everything that we need right here. We don't need some prophet to come in and tell us, do this or do that. We're going to follow the Word of God. But when it says despise not prophesying, that means don't despise hearing of the Word of God. Don't make light of it, because I think that's what's happening across our world today. They're just not preaching the Word. We've got to get into the Word. We've got to hear the Word. We have to have that Word in our life. If we're going to walk by faith, we have to know who God is. We have to know His attributes. We have to know what He is doing in us and through us, what He's able to do. We don't need a new methodology, because what we're going to do is end up with spiritual compromise. Well, the right attitude, because when we recognize from the inside the Spirit-led things, that we've got to conform the pattern to the life that the Scripture talks about. That's a hard approach. That's a long approach. The work of the Lord and the preaching of God's Word takes a long time for us to help us to conform ourselves to a biblical standard. That's what I'm hoping to get. Because it's as the Lord is working on our attitudes, He's working in our lives, changing us from within. That doesn't happen overnight. It's not like we can just change the externals. But with we come back to the Word of God and we allow the Word of God to work in us and through us, that's what the right motive is. And that's what a church that is a changing church, and I'm going to say that because we want to be a church that is a changing church. In other words, we're changing people in their lives, in their attitudes, in their hearts, in their testimonies. And if we want to be a moving church, then we want it to be a church that is moving with the right attitude, with the godly gifts, that's showing forth the Spirit of Christ. That has to come from the work in the heart that's first. And so the Lord is the one who begins to work on the person's heart. And when there's a need, in all my years, I didn't preach on tithing. And I'll tell you why. Because I preached that God wants your life. He wants your heart. And you know what happens when He's got your life? He's got your wallet. He's got everything that He needs. Because when your heart is right and you see a need, I want to meet that need. And God will begin to work on that. And that's why I saw, and that's why I recognize that when we're walking by faith and not by sight, I don't have to get up here and say, you need to be giving, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, we need to give our life a living sacrifice. And then everything that we have belongs to the Lord, not just my wallet. It's all His. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what we recognize, because we can say that we're blessed and we know what we're talking about when we talk in our Christian lingo. But when the world talks about being blessed, they're talking about something else. Isn't that true? If we listen to His word, we'll be happy and we'll be fulfilled. And when we obey His word, you'll prosper spiritually. You'll have good success, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says. And there's a whole myriad of promises that the Lord has given. And when we stay in that circle of obedience, you'll experience the fullness of His love. You'll experience and be able to trust. You'll have the peace, the joy, the love, and all of the things that are needed in this life. None of those things mean anything if you don't believe Him. So the first attitude is that attitude of faith that He wants to work on. We want to have the faith. Walking by faith is not blind wandering. It consists of bringing our whole person, body, soul, and spirit into line with God's word. It's something that maybe our spirit may seem intangible, but it is very tangible. When we know that something is true, you hear something and you know that's right. You hear something and you know that that's from the word, it clicks. Sometimes when you hear something and say, wait a minute, that sounds funny. Something wrong there. You may not know the theology. You may not know the terms. You may not be able to put your thumb on it, but you know it's not right. It's not true. Somebody once said many years ago, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. I like that. When you know your God, you can ride out the storms. You can walk through the high places. You can live completely in safety. You can walk on the prison yard and be completely safe and walk right through and nothing happens. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. So on the one hand, I live by faith. I live by faith on with God. And on the other hand, I live by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says here. I live by faith of the Father, and I live by faith in the Son, and we have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. We have all of God right there. Live trusting the Son of God. Why would you trust the Son of God? Why would you trust Jesus? Why would you trust Him totally? Because, you know, that's what Satan wants to do. When he wants to attack us, he causes us not to trust God, to disbelieve God. That's why we can say, because He loved me enough that He died for me. He loved me enough that He came into this world so that I could have life. I live by faith in my great God. I live by faith in my Savior. I live by faith in Him who has promised that he will give us eternal life. That's what these scriptures talk about. We know that when we close our eyes in death, we are immediately in the presence of God. So I have this confidence and this faith in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know that what he has begun, he will finish. That's what he's promised. I have faith that when Jesus said that the Father will give him all who come to him, and whoever comes, he will receive, and whoever he receives, he keeps, and whoever he receives and keeps, he will raise in the last day. That's all that will come to him. I have faith that Jesus is going to bring me to glory and you to glory because the Word of God has said that. You see, that's walking by faith, that we don't have to worry. I have faith that he'll help and walk beside me in every trial of life, and that if I am obedient to him, he will be victorious in me and in you. So we can have faith in him because we trust in him. We believe in him. And by reminding ourselves of the promises of God's word, we exercise that faith. That's how we're going to live. That's how we're going to walk. We're walking in the knowledge of the word of God so that we can walk by faith. That's the beginning attitude. It starts at our salvation, and because salvation occurs because you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust him to forgive your sins through the sacrifice of Christ, that's the beginning of faith. And it's not the end, that's just the start. And he begins to mold us. And that's why we can have confidence with the Apostle Paul to say, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't evaluate life by what we see, what we feel, what we smell, what we touch. We evaluate life through the eyes of faith, and faith in a substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen. It's not wishful thinking to be built on the rock of the character of God, to be built on the rock and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you've come to faith, we can face anything, not in ourselves, but in Christ, in us and through us. And I say that because there have been millions of Christian martyrs, millions that have died for the cause of Christ. And they simply came to that place where they said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because I see what's beyond. I see what's there. When Satan tempts you to do something, it's quenching your trust. That's why we take the shield of faith, to quench those fiery darts. Sin comes when we're not satisfied with God. When we're not satisfied with God, it's because we don't know him or we don't know his promises. So that shield saves us. The shield guards us from temptation. And that's why James chapter 1, he says that you ask in faith. And when we ask in faith, believing, we'll get it because it is according to his word. And we're told to draw near in faith. In Hebrews 12, we're told to run by faith. In Romans 4, we're to stand strong in the faith like Abraham. And so the first attitude in our heart is that we walk by faith, to trust in our omnipotent God, our omniscient God, our omnipresent God, our immutable God, our all-wise God. When we know the character of God, the loving, gracious, just God, and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself and has promised you eternity, that's the attitude that we have to begin to build up in our life in order to walk by faith.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed the message. We trust you've been encouraged, challenged, or generally built up spiritually. If this lesson has sparked questions, or perhaps you have questions of a different topic, let us know. Our information is given on the website, or you can reach us at sclofministry@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Angel upon the tombstone said he is risen just as he said. Jesus Christ is no longer dead.